Coming up in today's podcast, Wire beat Wakefield in a boar fest. However, Steve Price doesn't seem to think so. The Reader's Tries section heats up. We take a look at Warrington's freak ratings. Is Dennis going to continue with his innovative technical tackle bags? Callum sits down with Josh Charnley. And we look forward to one versus two. Yes, it's Wire against Saints. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Right, are we ready?
Yeah, and if I need to empty my bladder, would it be okay if I can do that?
Yeah, just put your... We'll just do it at the end of a section.
Put me cock up, okay.
Yeah, excellent. Well, put something up we can see.
Oh. I'll use this glass.
I'll try not to sniff, I've got hay fever.
Okay, oh, brilliant. Hello, I'm Rob London. I'm only a few days away from my glorious holiday. It's Alan Wicker, executive travel for me, Gucci luggage, business class flights, five-star hotels, dotted about the Persian Gulf, and Michelin awarded restaurants only. But where are my other two Lonely Planet podcasters? Well, my first jet setter has been likened to Judith Chalmers for his deep Mediterranean tan. He's bilingual and represents the cultural smorgasbord of the continent, travelling across sea courtesy of the Queen Elizabeth and via land through the locomotion of the Orient Express. It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Hello and good morning, Rob. Lovely sunny day here south of the river.
It looks very nice.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back, though. I remember the last time I went on the Orient Express, it was winter. A bit of fuss on the train. Someone got killed. I've not been on there since.
Yeah, I know the one you refer to. Well, it's good to see that the sun's out, because I will be over there in less than 10 days. After my holiday on the way over, I will be there for the Warrington-Salford game, unless I've got something better to do. I must admit, a few of my South of the River friends have offered me to play tennis that night, so it's 50-50. Whether I will be there, but we'll wait and see. Temperature in Sydney today was 14 degrees, boys. So for the first time this year, I think you've beaten me on the temperature. Okay, right now.
Are you all packed?
We haven't packed. We've just got the cases out, and we found a redback spider on one of the cases, which is the second most deadliest spider in Sydney. Thankfully, families all pulled through. No one touched it. And we live to fight another day. Right. Secondly, he's the cattle class commuter. You'll find him starting his adventure hitchhiking from Burton Wood surfaces as he makes his way to his tropical paradise of Real Sun Centre. Staying in one-star review TripAdvisor accommodation. Yes, he's pissed in more Premier League hotel kettles than any other tourist. It's Dennis Waywell. Hello, Dennis.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
All right, very
well there. Have you just had the summer solstice? You look sort of glowing this morning.
Summer solstice. Yeah, I don't know what that one is. And by the way, you did say cackle class as well. Are you all right today?
I don't care. I'm going on holiday. I really don't care. This monster that has lasted for 22 episodes will be put behind me for an entire month.
We've all pissed in a kettle, haven't we, in a hotel room? Why are you looking so bemused? What's the worst thing you've done in a hotel room? I'll tell you what mine is. It's not necessarily what I've done, but where I've ended up. I was on a work thing, and we had a few drinks the night before. And then the next day, I woke up with an inflatable sheep, and I was completely naked on the bed. And then the maid came in and just looked. And I don't know whether she ever recovered. What about you?
Well, it just sent a shiver down my spine, because I remember it to this day. I checked in once to a four-star hotel. Never again. Never again. Sam, how are you, mate?
Worst thing I've ever done. I've probably once taken one of those little items out of the bathroom, used it.
Condom.
That would be about it, really.
Condoms.
Oh dear, never mind. Well, seeing it's the last episode, I think we should all try at least 10% harder, don't you think? We should sort of try and just up our game for this last episode as we go into the break. What do you think, boys?
10%'s a bit steep, isn't it?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Gareth Widdop, when he was on the show, he talked about this 1%, didn't he? He said it was all about the 1%. And I noticed Luther Burrell was interviewed by the BBC this week with Eddie Gardner, and they also talked about this 1%. I'm not sure they quite understand percentages, because I put 1% more effort into work on Friday and it did fuck all. Nothing changed whatsoever. So I just don't know where this is coming from. I've done a few...
Robert, you did say it was work. When I spoke to you about that the other day, was it not something else, other activity that you were doing?
Moving on. Right, I've got some stats here on if Warrington tried 1% harder, just to see how well we do. Last year's Super League Grand Final, Wigan 12, Wire 4. If Warrington tried 1% harder, it would have been Wigan 12, Warrington 4.04. Doesn't really work, does it, that 1% there? We would have actually had to drive an extra 225% up in our game to beat them 13-12. So it's not really working. I looked at the Challenge Cup final as well. Catalans 20, Wire 14. An extra 1% on Wire score is Catalans 20, Wire 14.4. 14.14. Again, no difference. To actually beat Catalan on the day 21-20, we'd have had to increase our game by 200%. You're the statistician, Stam. Are you this 1%, mate? You think it's, a bit of bullshit?
I think your workings out in those two finals might be a little bit of bullshit.
Well, there's one for the listeners. Let's see what they say. Another one I've got for you here. Of course, we had Richard Shorewright on the podcast last week, and he talked about a chicken masala that he likes in the Royal Spice in Wakefield. He likes to, occasionally when he's been paid, have a king prawn madras. So I've checked. A chicken masala at the Royal Spice in Wakefield is £5.50. If he was to add 1%, onto his fee, he'd have £5.55. Unfortunately, a King Pro Madras is £9.95, and therefore he'd need 80.9% to actually get that King Pro Madras. So,
that's real world stuff.
Yeah. I've got one last one. We talked last week about Dennis looking like the chap from Carry On Camping, and we did mention Barbara Windsor's bra. Now, this is only for the pod that I did this research. In Barbara Windsor, when she was wearing the bra in Carry On Camping, she was wearing a 34D. Now, if she added 1% onto her 34D cup, she would still be 34D because her breast size is 5 inches and you'd have to go to 6 inches to become a 34DD. So she'd need an extra 20% gain. Not even a nipple. Not even 1% would get you a nipple.
Now, legs astride, arms flinging from side to side, begin. And fling, and in. And fling, and in. And both arms fling. Now, really, let's see those chests come out. And fling, and in. And fling, and in. And fling. Matron, take them away.
If you were a gentleman, you'd close your eyes.
You know what? I completely lost track. I was just visualising a pair of tits.
Rather than looking at two.
No way.
Yeah, that's it.
That's no way to talk about Dennis and Sam and me, is it? That's a bit...
Well, I know, but Skype does put you, abreast of each other, should we say.
Oh, very good, very good, yes.
Yeah, I clearly think this 1% is total and utter bullshit, and we need to up our game at least 25% to stand any chance in the future. Right, let's move on to the game then. It was the review of the Wakefield game. Warrington team was Mamo, Johnson, Goodwin, King, Charnley, Austin, Patton Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, and Philbin came back in at 13. Interchange bench was Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Akawala, and Davis. Final score, Warrington 30, Wakefield 6. Tries were, there was a try to Hampshire for Wakefield early on with Brough kicking the goal. It was a forward pass. We'll ask Sam about that in a second. But not to sort of balance things out, we scored tries through Curry, Charnley, Cooper's forward pass, Austin and Johnson, with Patton getting 5 goals. Sam, you were there. You sent a WhatsApp message to say, this is absolute drivel. I can't remember exactly what you wrote, but you said you were falling asleep. Was it that bad, mate?
I think I was watching a different game last night to other people. I've seen Steve Price has said he thought our attack looked better tonight, but I thought we were disjointed during the second half. There was the small crowd was chatting amongst themselves. But on the plus side, we did score a couple of nice tries. and we won, which is a big, which is more than a 1% improvement on last week against Hull KR.
It's true. The refereeing last night, Sam, I've watched the clips. The Hampshire try is half a yard forward, and then Patton stutters for too long, and Cooper's gone through the gap, and he throws him basically an NRL, an NFL pass. How was the rest of the refereeing?
There was another one, although I've not. It was the far end for us. The first Charlie try, I was convinced that King had knocked on when he went up to challenge for the ball. But the whole thing was just disjointed. We were dropping the ball a lot, which isn't the referee's fault. It was just a disjointed stop-start affair. And Liam Moore didn't help at all.
The Charlie try, when Patton puts the ball up, Hughes is standing about a metre in front of him and clearly is inside the 10 when the ball comes down. And that seemed to be missed as well. So it was a bit messy, wasn't it? The whole game,
really. No big screen. There was, I tell you what, though, Darrell Clark was head and shoulders above during the match, making clean breaks, tackle busts, ran for almost 200 metres. But people didn't seem with him. We seemed a bit clunky. Really?
It's a bit psychology coming in now, isn't it, really? Because, you know, if we don't have Darrell Clark on the pitch, we lose like we did last week against OKR. Is it going to become a significant thing if we lose him later in the season?
It could do, of course. It could do. We desperately seem to miss him last week. But for me, just at the moment, we've got a couple of outstanding individuals in Clark and Austin. And obviously, we've got some excellent players in people like Hill, Hughes, Curry. But just as a team, we just don't seem to be quite clicking. Whether it's just almost like we're treading water, waiting for a big game, which is just around the corner, isn't it?
Mm. Mm. The two players we're missing in line. Is Lynham back for the St Helens game? Is he available next week? Yeah, he is. So Lynham will come in for Johnson, won't he? But Ratchford. Ratchford's out for a fair bit, so we're going to have to continue with Mamo there. I mean, he's had a few games now in that position, Sam. What have you thought of him?
When he gets hold of the ball, he's lightning off the mark. He does inject pace, which is, I think, a positive over Ratchford. But when he comes into the line, he hasn't got or doesn't appear to have the passing ability of Ratchford. And maybe that's what we're lacking at the minute. We're not quite setting up those plays where the ball comes across and you've got the fullback curving round, making the extra man on the outside. I'm not seeing that in the last two or three weeks.
And Philbin back at 13, did it make much difference? He seems to be better there than in the props, or prefer him in that front row?
I personally like him playing that 13. I know it's the modern way. It's we've been doing that for several years now, haven't we? But that mobile extra prop playing at 13, he's got a bit of pace. He gets going. He adds a bit of size to us, particularly in the first 20 minutes.
Okay. Patton last night, good game. Indifferent game.
Yeah, I think. But from what I heard, I mean, I didn't listen to the second half. We should just put that in now.
Dennis, you were at a barbecue last night. You were sending me pictures. You were snugged up next to some fire. You didn't pay any attention to the game whatsoever last night, did you? You're making this up off the cuff.
No. Well, what it was is that, you know, I had some technical difficulties. I walked to another part of the village where there's a dead zone, and didn't hear anything.
Midsummer murder.
It's very, you know. It's too much stonework. That's what it is. Should knock it all down and start again.
Well, Sam Patton, how did he go?
We've spoke about it. Yeah, lovely little kick through for Curry to score. Lovely little weighted kick. And then in the second half, when we were 24 points up, he starts kicking for touch and he kicks the ball dead. I'm like, you've got 30 metres there to put the ball over the line and you still kick it through the in-goal and give them seven tackles.
Not the best. Yeah. It did seem, when I watched that try back, the one with Cooper, there was no necessity for him to hang on to that ball. Cooper was going through a huge gap and really, it was a forward pass by half a yard. It should have been pulled up.
Would 1% make a difference with Patton's performance?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need a bit more than 1%. Maybe 111% we might get there. Austin again stepped off that left foot, went through, made a mockery of their defence, didn't he?
Lovely try. That was the highlight of the second half. As you say, he left him on his backside, didn't he? It was superb.
One player I was intrigued to know how he went was George King. We've talked about Lamatazi coming in and really not showing anything in the squad better than George King. Did George King make much of an impact last night for Wakefield? Did you see him on the park?
I have to be honest, I didn't really notice him. We were too
busy. Well, it's consistent George King then. No different than last year, really.
But in terms of, I didn't notice him specifically. We were actually comparing Fifita to Ben Murdoch-Masilla, and although they play slightly different positions, of course, we were deciding which one we would rather have. That's where we'd got to in the game.
I don't know what goes on in that stand.
It's like no one was paying attention.
I know. Were you discussing his hair, Fifita's hair, how it compares?
Yeah, he had a quite a violent new haircut down the sides.
I saw he knocked Wolfie out at the end. Did you see the Wolfie clip of him flying the plane?
No, I've not. No. I've not heard sure about it.
I'm not sure if he was over St Helens. I thought one second I saw him fly over Australia this afternoon, but I might be wrong.
My boomerang won't come back. Your boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I'll wave the thing all over the place. I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. Don't worry, boy, I know the trick, and to you I'm gonna show it. If you want your boomerang to come back, well, first you've got to throw it.
Oh, yes. Never thought on it. Daddy will be pleased. Must have a go. Excuse me. Now then, slowly back and throw.
Oh, my God. I've hit the flying Wolfie.
Can you do first aid?
Don't talk to me about first aid, boy. You owe me 14 chickens, you know what I mean? Learned you to throw the boomerang, you know, first thing first.
Yes, I know that, but I mean, I think on this occasion, you know, you could be a bit more persuasive.
Right, let's come on to the man of the match then. Sam, you were there. You're the one that's going to have to give this the full 100%, not the 1%. Who's your man of the match, mate?
Darryl Clark, head and shoulders.
Won it by a country mile yet again. Oh, let's go on to predictions then. I went for 18-19 to Wakefield. Sam went 30 points to 14 to Warrington. And Dennis went, I don't know what Dennis was doing. Dennis went 31-24. Richard Shawright went 36-20. So I think you just got it, Sam. You've just managed to get yourself a point going into the break. I've now actually got an updated score here. Rob is now on 24 points. Sam is only two behind on 22. Dennis is back there on 17. Picked up a few early points, but has withered away as the episodes have gone by. You're all right there, Dennis. You seem a little bit aloof today. Have you had a big night last night?
Well, I wouldn't say a big night, but just a bit fatigued, shall we say, this morning. And the thing about it is that one thing I have noticed with the podcast is that you are going at 100 mile an hour this morning.
I know, it's good, isn't it? I'm going on holiday, I don't care.
We've had a warning not to talk over each other, and there's no way we can get a word in edgeways when someone's had probably a day's worth of coffee. Look at him.
Well, I have to say, I mean, the greatest win this weekend was my netball team because we won four on the bounce, 41-38 this afternoon.
So what difference are you bringing to the coaching setup then?
Well, I asked them for 1% more on the end of the third quarter, and they all turned around to me and said, that's absolute bullshit. We need to do at least 25%. And that's right, girls. Get it right. 1%.
You know what? You're almost as if you've been bitten by that spider, aren't you? The way that you're acting. I want to know, you have potentially can bring back that spider. If it's laid some eggs under the zip or something, or it's in there, you bring this spider, this country. Why do we have to heat treat our palates and send them over to you for a bit of woodworm, yet you can bring a deadly animal over here?
I don't know. I've always wondered that. Australia's got the most strictest quarantine regulations in the world. I'm not too sure why. We don't let anything in, but we're quite happy to let things go out the other way. I'm sure there have been a few redbacks have arrived into Manchester Airport, took one look at the place and got back on the plane. But, you know, it's the way things are, isn't it?
I suppose it is.
Right. Well, talking of insects, it was bees around honey last week, or was it wasps? The tantric rhythms of Madame Boyd's balls certainly have given the winning effect to Tony. Is Madame Boyd now an incubation think tank for all coaches that have lost their way? Only time will tell. It's over to Dennis and Madame Boyd.
Very cheery, Madame Boyd. And you knew it was me again? Was it the stars aligning?
No, dear. It was my balls. I had a tingling sensation, a bit like the bee days in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah. Rob London likes a good bee day. There won't be any bee days at the festival next week.
No, dear, but I have my own private gypsy caravan facilities, so I don't need to worry about those sort of things.
Oh! I didn't know you had dogs, Madame Boyd. What's going on there?
Drop it, Chester. Chester, drop it. I am looking at the Tony's pet palace.
Pet palace? What's that?
It's one of Tony's business interests outside rugby league. He's always enjoyed a bit of dogging.
Not entirely sure that dogging and kennels are related in the same way, Madame Boyd. Anyway, have you got any predictions this week?
Chester, bring me the ball. Good boy. There's nothing worse than saliva on your ball. Let me see. Oh, the irony. Chester has delivered my ball. And at the end of the year, answer the call.
Sounds Wakefield related. Chris Chester. We'll see.
Leave me alone, James. He'll bite you.
So, Madame Boyd, we're going on holiday. We're taking a bit of a break.
Don't rile him, James. Don't rile him. Sorry, Dennis. I'm afraid I'm going to have to deal with these dogs. James, you're making an awful noise. James, be careful.
So very interesting this week, Dennis. Can you fill us in on that, mate, and exactly where you think she was coming from?
Yeah, we should have discussed this, shouldn't we, really? I mean,
Tell us more. I'm really intrigued by this. Come on, tell us more. Where do you think she's coming
from? Well, I think it's more in Sam's field. I mean, Sam, what do you think?
No idea. Absolutely not. Got a clue what she was on about this week.
Also, that really has puzzled me. I'm not sure where that one's coming from. I think we really need to go back on you on this one, Dennis, and give us a more clear indication of what you made of it.
I don't.
You're right there, Dennis. Jesus, we've got one more episode to go. And look at the state of you. Christ, you've gone early, haven't you, last night? Come on. Of course, Dennis has got the pitch and putt going on down in his back garden this week. It's tomorrow, isn't it, that you've got
it is.
What are the holes looking like, mate? Have we got the full nine up and running?
Yeah, we've got all the usual ones. We've got Stonehenge because it was summer solstice the other night. That'll do. We've got a runway, which is good. I've now introduced a Brian Cox black hole. It's going to set this village on fire. I've got a Mexican hole, which I was thinking about putting a fajita box on it, but I didn't really know if that was a link or not. And one, I've got a dodgy eye, which I suppose, you know, I could have done a dodgy ear because, Rob, you've got a bit of a hearing trouble, haven't you? You could look like Morris.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had my ears. My ears are not good. I had my ears tested this week. I've only got 45% hearing left in my left ear and only 70 in my right. I blame the world, the back room of the world in about 1995 or whatever it was. No, so earlier than that.
The 1% here wouldn't make any difference.
Pardon?
1% here. I know what you're doing to me.
wouldn't make a difference.
10:30. Is that what you said? All right. Do you? Right. Well, we should move on to a new section that we're running with. I spent a bit of time this week in front of an Excel sheet to come up with freak ratings. It was mentioned that Luther Burrell said that he thought the Warrington players were machines. They were freaks. So like any PlayStation, FIFA, Sega, Wayne Gretzky, ice hockey or ZX Spectrum football, all the players have their ratings. Dennis, over to you, sir.
Well, I probably got the wrong end of the stick again, really. It's not unknown.
It's not like unusual.
No. So I was looking at the top freaks that we've had in history. This guy called Schlitzy, he's number one. He was a pinhead, and he put him in a freak show. He had a very small head.
We've got a picture of that we could put up on Twitter. I'd like to see
yeah,
that.
There's a picture of all these, so bear with me. General Tom Thumb, quite well known. He eventually did find his wife of a similar size and got married, so that was really nice. So he was quite famous. These all made quite a lot of money, actually, because of obviously unfortunate freakish nature.
Were they all part of P.T. Barnum's brigade, were they?
Hello. Okay, I've not done that much research, Sam.
Are we ever going to get onto the player ratings, or are you just going to read out freaks for the next 10 minutes?
Well, yeah, Chang and Eng, they had an arrangement where basically they got married, but the wives didn't go on, so they ended up having to go and spend 3 days at a time with each wife. That was their thing. This one here, I don't believe this one. Frank Lentini, the three-legged man. He's got three legs. And he's also got a second set of reportedly fully functioning genitalia. Mm. Now that is a guy, and he had a foot on his kneecap.
What's a load of bollocks?
They've got Ellie Hamper, the camel girl. She's just double jointed. Stephen, I can't even say, but he's got.
What's the freakish about being double jointed?
She's bent over, completely twisted backwards, and she was called a camel because her ass is that way, and then her head's the other face.
Rob, how much editing are you going to need to do on this?
No, it's all good.
More than 1%.
You got the bearded lady, which I think is just a bloke dressed up.
Yeah.
And a human skeleton.
Right.
Okay. So I was just sort of setting the tone, really, because
sets the tone for my Excel sheet, Dennis. I mean, that is spot on, isn't it? I mean, I did it all around a bearded lady. Who could bend over and put her arsehole behind the back of an ear.
Have you met a few of them in your time?
Right. Well, I did an Excel sheet. What we did was we looked at 1 to 10 player ratings for our top 20 players. We left Levette out, and we also left... who else did we leave out? We left the young hooker out as well, because it was going to absolutely completely make a dick splash of my formula. So we gave 1 to 10 for each player. And then we added it all up to see what percentages we ended up with. Lo and behold, the highest mark we gave between Sam, Dennis and myself was 97% for Daryl Clark. I mean, we talk about 1%. He's only 3% off 100%. He was by far our best player. Austin came in at second with 87%. Sam awarded him 9. I awarded him 9. Dennis, bizarrely, awarded him 8, which seemed a little bit... low for our marquee player. The reason I say that is Jason Clark scored 77%. Sam gave Jason Clark 8. I gave him a 6. But Dennis gave Jason Clark a 9. So, look, everyone's fair on this show. Everyone gets their own opinion, and that's what makes us special. But, Dennis, what the fuck? How can you give him 9 and only Austin 8? Explain yourself.
Well, I took this on the looking at the player and the player's ability. And I think Richard mentioned it last week about, like, you know, when he was talking about Richie Myler, that he's only able to perform to his standard. So when you actually look at the player in just isolation, not comparing him to anyone else, I was looking at to his capability, how much effort and what his performance has been like, has him as an individual. And I reckon we've seen probably a 90% performance from Jason Clark. Austin, I would hope that 80% of we've only seen so far, and the extra 20% will be given to us when we get to the grand final. So quite a good answer, I think you'd say. Thank you very much.
Wasn't bigoted at all, Dennis. That was absolutely spot on. Sam, would you agree with him? I mean, you obviously did your player ratings a little bit more sensible than Dennis did. Would you give Jason Clark a 9 out of 10?
No. No, but I went with 8. I looked on the basis of if 7 is a good standard performance, I'm giving Jason Clark better than our good standard player. He's one of our better players.
Fair enough. We will put these up on Facebook and also on our Twitter feed. The worst mark we gave was only 23% to Lamatazi, with marks of 4, 1, and 2. I think it's fair to say that Lamatazi's been a complete flop, and he's got to be on his way at the end of the year, hasn't he?
How many minutes has he actually played this season? That'd be an interesting thing to know. He's not played many, has he?
I think I've got a month to work that out, haven't I?
Yeah, he's played a bit. Johnson didn't do too much better. We rated him at 30%. The third lowest was Deck Pattern. We gave him 47%. Sam gave him 5 out of 10. Dennis gave him 6 out of 10. I gave him just the 3. Our worst forward that we marked out of anyone, apart from Lamatazi, was Curry, which I think we kind of got spot on. We've ranked Curry as 50%. I think we're seeing a Curry that's 50% less than what he was, aren't we, Sammy? He's just, what is it about Curry? I know you've spoken about his tackle count is good and his stats look okay, but where's that little bit of show and go gone that he used to have in his game?
I'll accept that. I marked him highest, didn't I? I give him a solid 7 out of 10, whereas you two went 4, which I thought was harsh. But you're right. He is part of the team. He's playing consistently all right, but he's lacking that little extra that made him the standout forward and prospect he was before he did his knee. Whether that comes back gradually and his speed comes back, remains to be seen, but he isn't quite there,
but what is it? Is it lack of pace? Is that what he's lost? Is it the fact that he's not confident? Is it what? Because surely, you know, his brain's functioning the same.
He looks to be moving very well. He doesn't seem to have an issue that way. Perhaps it is because he's playing on the left-hand side. And I know Austin floats around, but most of our set plays, he's working with Deck Pattern on that left-hand side, whereas Austin's moving the other way towards the right. So maybe he's just not quite linked up yet with his halfback.
Mm. There have been times, though, in Curry's career, you know, prior to this, where he's made something from nothing. He's not had to generate it from people around him. I mean, think back to that Challenge Cup try that he nearly scored to win us the game. That really came from nothing. He got that ball from a standing start. He went off his right foot, managed to break a few tackles, and he was on his way. We're not seeing any of that at all, are we? I mean, it's all very well saying that possibly it's Pattern, but something is not there.
No, I'm not blaming Pattern there. I'm just, in this instance, I'm just saying that those little half yards that he needs to get a break, he's perhaps not being put into that gap, or he's just not quite. But perhaps like our performance last night, I felt it just not quite.
How many clean breaks has Curry made this year, Sam?
7.
You just made that up.
I did.
Right, I'll run from these from the top. We'll go through them all very quickly. Clark, 97%. I won't do the percents each time. Austin, 87. Ratchford, 77. Hill, Cooper, Jason Clark, also all 77. Charlie, 73 with Hughes. Davis, 70 with Lynham at 70. And also King, Philbin and Akwala all on 70%. Then we go to Mamo at 67. He's joined by Goodwin at 67 and Ben Murd at Masilla. And then those last four. Curry on 50%. Pattern at 47%. Johnson at 30% and Tarzi at 23%. Our overall rating for The Wire, based on team performance, Sam has given them 70%. Dennis has run with 69%. It's been a long time since that kid. And I've gone 62%. The overall rating then, consequently, it comes in at 67%. We think that Wire are performing at this year. Seems a little low for a team that's in second place, but is that detrimental more about Super League this season, that it's just not firing? And you can run in second place on 67%.
Yes, possibly. I mean, this is all subjective, but
no, it's not. This took me a good half day to put this together.
What? Is that why you're at work?
If we look at it, a good solid 7 out of 10, 60, you know, almost a good decent, a decent performance so far. For me, the reason I haven't gone any higher is we've not been consistent across it. We've thrown in three very mediocre performances, haven't we, in amongst that?
Yeah, we have. Well, my daughter got 70% in her maths on Friday, and it was a solid C. So I'm going to run with a solid C for 67%. We've still got a bit more improvement. I mean, you're shaking your head there, Sam. You're thinking we're more a B, are you?
Yeah, I'm thinking we're more a B. We're more a B so far, for me.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's move on to the poll and readers' tries. The poll this week, interesting one. We went with our wire on track for winning. Jack Shit, runners-up only, Challenge Cup and the double were the options. A, Jack Shit, 27% of people thought we're going to win absolutely sod all this year. C, Challenge Cup got 10%. Winning the double got 15%. But the winner by far saying that we'll be runners-up only with 48%. It just about sums up where we are at the moment, doesn't it, Dennis? We're not good enough to beat St. Helens in the Super League Grand Final. We may be good enough to beat Hull in the Challenge Cup semi-final, but again, we might be sort of left a little bit off the mark when we play Saints at Wembley.
I think, you know, you don't get away with that. You know, that game last night, Wakefield scored after a couple of minutes. If that's St. Helens, they're not going to be able to you're not going to be able to turn a match around and then run away with it. If anything, they're going to score two or three times.
Yeah, I think the big thing to remember, though, this was similar last year that Saints looked a bit better, a bit stronger than us. And when it came to it, in the semi-final at their place, we put in an outstanding performance. And I think we have got that in us. We'll see what happens next week, but we've got that in us. We've got the capability, and that's where I am happy at the moment, in that we've got the players right across the pitch. And as I said earlier, those two superstars, if we put it together, we can beat Saints, and we only have to beat them once or twice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're 8 points, 10 points behind them when it comes through to mid-September, and then going into the playoffs. What will matter is those three games or two games, depending on where we finish at the end of the season.
Okay, well, fair enough. Dennis, what are you voting for there? Jack Shit, runners-up only, Challenge Cup or the double? Which one are you picking at the moment, based on what you've seen?
I wanted to just put that we'd be in the final, that we'd win the grand final. I know you couldn't on the poll, but I think we'll probably end up runners-up.
Sam, which one are you going for?
Just to be awkward, I'll say we'll win one, we'll lose one.
Okay. I'll go Jack Shit. Oh, no, I'll go runners-up. I'll stick with the 48%. I know my followers. 48%, runners-up for sure.
My followers.
Oh. Your followers. Yeah, I know. I have noticed. Sam. We just get ignored, you say, like this.
I will be at the Salford game. You will be able to find me in the toilets at half-time, before the game or after the game, if you want to come up and handshake, say hello. Yeah, that's where you'll find me. Right, Harvey Levett heading to Hull KR on a month's loan. Sam, a bit disappointing, really. He's not kicked on. We saw him have that wonderful game at Leeds last year, and we thought he sort of arrived on the scene. Again, it's a bit of a mystery podcast, this, isn't it? We've talked about Curry and something wrong there. Can you put your finger on Levett? Is this the end for Levett? Do we see him going at the end of the year?
Yes, I've heard a couple of whispers about Levett, that he may well be on his way at the end of the season. A couple of things coming out that he's not the best at training, and they're demanding a little bit more of him, and perhaps he's not quite able to give it. If Price wants something, it would seem that if you can't provide that week in, week out, you're not good enough. I think it's very telling that he's been allowed to go to Hull KR, and maybe this will be the making of him this little four-week period, if he gets some game time.
I mean, it seems to be the same, that similar rumour about Lewis Johnson as well, that it possibly isn't quite, you know, there in training the whole time, and hence why we've not really seen him this year. Dennis, you're our in-house psychologist. Will this be a positive effect on Levett at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Dennis, you're our in-house psychologist. Will this be a positive effect on Levett at the end of the year, or do you see the writing on the wall for Sideshow Bob?
Well, yes.
I've had a good look up there and gone into this.
I've not had a look. No, I haven't gone into it at all. But I think we can do without Levett. He looks slightly... He doesn't look as physically sort of... Yeah, you pointed that out about him trying and you know, in the gym and stuff like that. He doesn't look like he's...
Are you seeing a crack in his game?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's definitely gone. Anyway.
Fair enough. Okay, we've had a few people that have approached us this week. First one was Danny Murphy. He asks, thoughts on playing Borelli in the second row? He feels he could add some power and strength to the pack. My old man's gone on about this a little bit. He just thinks we're a bit light in that second row. You don't see him there, Sam. I mean, Dennis is shaking his head here. We see him as an outright centre, don't we?
Yes, I see him as a centre once he's got a bit of game time under his belt. A friend I met last night feels he may well be given a game on the wing for his first introduction, but that's not where he's going to end up. That might be his first introduction, maybe off the bench and play 20, 30 minutes.
What's the matter, Dennis? You're right there.
Well, I've got a friend who's told me that he's going to play instead of Depp Patton.
Where's your friend? Where's your friend, Dennis? At least my friend works in the warehouse. When I talk about my friend, I always say works in the warehouse. Sam just has friends.
Who's this important friend? This is like Donald Trump speak, this. You've got to back it up.
Come on, back it up, thank you.
Boomer, man. That's Madam Boyd's job. Madam Boyd, are you there?
Yes, there is.
Well, Jenna Rose, she wasn't happy. She tweeted to us, say, imagine thinking we're going to win Summit. This year, we cannot even beat the likes of Hull KR or Salford. She's got a point, hasn't she? We have flopped a few times this season.
I think this is it. When I was on about St. Helens before, you know, we've really... The league, as it looks, is really sort of poor in terms of its competition. And, you know, when we've actually come up against a challenge with, like, you know, some sides that are further down the table, we've not really handled it well. And that's my point about when we go behind against St. Helens. They're too good of a team to allow anyone to come back into it if we get behind 12 points.
True.
Well, don't go behind then. That's the answer to that, is it? Just don't get behind.
Okay, right. Now we need to move on to this. I don't know how I'm going to approach this subject. It's a little bit touching. Women's rugby certainly got a reaction from the podcast followers. I've got good and bad. Do you want to run with good first or bad?
I think we should stay with good first.
We'll start with good. Okay, I've received a direct message on Twitter saying, I couldn't agree more with Sam. His summary of, I'm all in favour of male and female rugby and for inviting us all to share this wonderful sport was spot on and so refreshing to hear as the world seems to be on the turn. But she does go on to ask, is there a transgender league? And that's many thanks, Emma Laslett, which is nice, isn't it? So we got that one in. Good to hear. Okay, right, now brace yourself. Now, I have printed this off because this week, on the 21st of June, I received a letter. I printed it off at work yesterday. I had to be very careful that I got to the printer first. This is the letter. Dennis, you can rest easily, son. You can rest easily, as too can I. We want to get to the end of this letter before we get the reaction from Sam. So I'll start with the letter. It says, Dear What Would Brian Bevan Say? I am not a regular listener to your wretched podcast, but my husband Ronnie of 75 years standing is. I think she means they've been married for 75 years, not he's been listening to the podcast for 75. He mostly listens to the podcast in our conservatory, but due to a burst pipe on Tuesday morning in the conservatory, Ronnie was forced to tune in from our sitting room.
Did he piss himself?
Hey, come on, let's give this letter some what it deserves, Dennis.
Sorry.
Consequently, I overheard you discussing the subject of women's rugby league. I was shocked, horrified and upset to hear the comments from a gentleman going by the name of Mr. Sam Sankey, or possibly, should I call him, a prehistoric barbaric male predator. She goes on. After putting his inappropriate views forward, Mr. Sankey concluded by saying it was perfectly okay to crack on to women rugby league players in the bar after the game. I think his exact words were, "Where anything goes."
Ooh. Sounds like a funny daddy place.
Can I remind him that women are not pieces of meat, or there for the pleasure of pleasure of manfully bigoted, chauvinistic, discriminatory, dogmatic, intolerant, narrow-minded sex pest partisans such as you, Mr. Sankey? My husband Ronnie also informs me you're known as the Statman. I can only imagine what kind of despicable female statistics you keep in your dirty little man book. She does say, I would, however, like to take this opportunity to thank the young plumber Christopher who fixed the broken pipe in the conservatory, as all I am left with now is a reasonably priced invoice and my pussy that's completely wet through. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Slocum, age 96. So that's nice, isn't it? P.S. May I also add, I did enjoy Dennis's section. It was refreshing to hear an active, superlative mind tackling technical solutions, which brought back fond memories of me working at Bletchley Park as a young 17-year-old female mathematician whilst deciphering the Enigma code. Ironically, cracking the Enigma code could not be further removed from Mr. Sankey crapping onto women. Come on, Sam, what do you make of that?
She's bang on point, isn't she?
You're giving yourself a telling off.
I think at her age, she's obviously got some hearing difficulties.
Well, I think moving forward, I think it's clear that you are now our Women Rugby League correspondent, Sam. You've sort of split the podcaster's views there. So all the best, Mrs. Slocum and Emma Laslett.
What about the transgender game, Sam? You didn't actually answer the question.
I am not aware of a transgender team, but I am aware of some LGBT
teams. What the fuck was that? What did you say? What did you just say then? BT.
We'll move on before you get me
did
into...
Did he say BT, Dennis? What did he say then?
I'm sorry,
Mrs. Slack. I can only apologise for this. It's absolutely... We will reprimand him away from the podcast. Now, we've been very lucky over the course of the season to be joined by young Callum. When the podcast started, Callum tracked us down and he asked us if he could come on the show. Every week without fail, Callum, to his credit, has provided a terrific soundbite. Callum's favourite player is Josh Charnley. So to reward Callum for all his hard work, this week the Warrington Wolves very kindly granted the podcast a one-on-one with Callum and Josh. Here's what they had to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now you're listening to the King of the North.
Hiya, Josh. Welcome to the podcast. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Talking of this morning, how's training?
Yeah, really good. Bit wet and wild out there, but can't complain. Is that the horn that's sounding? Also, he's not got long left.
Is there anybody out there? All right, we're going in five. So how do you feel about the prospect of facing the league leader St Helens this Friday night?
It's going to be a good battle. Like it or lump it, fuck what you thought, they come out in the
thousands just to support, they play trumpets in the background when I talk. A question I've got to ask, what's it like having Blake Austin at the club, a player of his calibre, what's it like on and off the field?
Yeah, good. A lot more up on the field as well as off. So, you can hear him before you see him. So, yeah, he's a lot of him. He's one of those players that you want on your team, not on your face.
Playing on a Friday night under the lights or a Saturday afternoon in the sun.
Friday night and you get Saturday off. I'm king
of the north, forget what other MCs want to say. And what's your favourite away ground to play at?
Well, FC Leeds is good when it's packed. Fortune favours to brief. Now that I'm lucky enough to have fans,
they know that I will die for this shit. I've already. And obviously being quite a good followed club, what do you think of the Warrington fans, especially at away matches?
Yeah, well, they give us a good lift, even at home, you know, they get on the back of us, so so you can't complain, especially on away games. You know, when we played at Huddersfield a few weeks ago, they did stop singing for 80 minutes, so
Do you enjoy seeing some of the banter between different Super League fans, like the different atmospheres going on, the different vibes between each of the fans, especially Warrington and Wigan and St Helens? How do you find that?
I don't take any notice to it. I just try and focus on what I do. You know, when you get a pause, you always hear them chatting and talking, calling each other, you know, and slinging the finger and that. So, it is what it is, isn't it? You know, the fans are that passionate, they try and do the best to try and upset you.
And obviously, getting there last season, are you looking forward to playing again at Bolton for the Cup semi final?
Yeah, it's good, you know. I only live 2 minutes from the stadium, so it's good to be a little local. And I've always liked that stadium. You know, I go and watch Bolton sometimes with mates, and it's, the house is pumping. It's a good stadium to play at. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting there, playing home. Yeah, he's a good bloke. Loves his family, you know. Loves the boys. He's one of the lads. He knows when to switch on and switch off, so that's a good trait to have as a coach. You know, he can bollock you 1 minute, and then when you finish training, you know, he's one of the lads. So you want that as a team, but as a coach, where they can, you know, switch off and relax and be a part of the team.
What advice would you give to any young players out there, especially looking to get into the game as quick as possible?
You don't have to be really skillful and talented. You know, kids are coming through now who work hard. You know, there's a lot of work hard and put everything into it. You know, it's better than some skill. And so yeah, just don't give in and keep going. And you know, it's just one of those where you do get setbacks, but that's how you react and bounce back.
And finally, what's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
A 25 common from Wyreside in Lake District.
That's about it. Just thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
No worries, thank you.
Is there any end to Denny's?
I thought you were going to explain.
Is there any end to Dennis's technical ideas? As it seems, over the past few episodes, Dennis is evolving into some kind of genetically modified clone of Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and Stephen Hawking. If only we could strip Dennis naked, smear his tackle bags in peanut butter prior to pushing his wheelchair to the bottom of the garden, applying his handbrake, and watching the crows have their way. It's time yet again for DTB.
Tackle bags.
The fuck are you wearing now? That's ridiculous. What is that on your head?
I'm doing crazy girls. You know, like you used to see in Walton Gardens when they're like, you know, and you're a club and a ball. Exactly. Park attendant. Right. So, last week's episode, tackle bags. Using a similar system to Hawkeye, the third umpire in cricket, or the video referral in tennis. We would want to have help with the rugby league decisions when it comes to video ref. And we're going to call our version Kezai, as Rob made a good reference there to the old Yorkshire rugby league film. And I think you could say that Richard was in agreement. I think he thought it was a good idea. Anything to sort of cut back on the video ref time. Yeah, not agree. Rob, why are you putting your virtual reality set on? Are you getting it?
Well, I thought you were going technical again, so I've got my VR specs out. But are you going down that path?
Yes.
Very good. Can I say, Richard did mention the first drive-in fish and chip shop last week. Turns out it's about 100 yards from his house.
He purposely gets in his car just to go and get chips from the drive-in. Anyway, our listeners thought, Sam, did you want to bring something up? Oh, no. Right. 91% agreed that it was a good idea. So quite clearly, everybody's sick of the video ref. I had a letter from Fluffer. He said, does that mean that the referees will be made redundant? which you probably would. Right, Rob, take your thing off. I don't know what is that.
Oh, it's frightening. That was for a second.
No, 8%. Radio Goo Goo said, "I don't like the Yorkshire connection. I'm from Cockermouth in Cumbria." That says it all. Says it all. And then just the 1%. Paul Keswick wrote, "That's my pet name for the end of my knob." Well, it's probably better than some 1%. So yeah, I think we do definitely need to have some kind of Hawkeye system in.
I agree. I mean, it would have seen two forward passes last night, wouldn't it? Yeah. Warrant game.
Yeah. That would have affected us, though, wouldn't it? Right. Anyway, this week we're looking at augmented reality simulation environment.
What? Sam just left the will to live there. I'm glad this is coming to an end.
Go on, say that again.
Augmented reality simulation environment.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, I know where you're coming from, Dennis. Yeah, carry on.
Or ARS, for short. using all the facets of technology, it's discussed in Tackle Bag so far, and obviously everybody's talking about it in Rugby League now, I'd like to introduce the ARS, or the Augmented Reality Simulation Environment. Here, the spectator wears something along the lines of 3D glasses that are capable of displaying
graphics. I can put my VR glasses on again if you want me to.
They're not actually the glasses I'm talking about, but, you know, you're nearly there. You are in Australia, 20 years behind. And, you know, displaying graphics of players for the user also has an earpiece in the glasses as well that they can choose the choice of commentary as well while they're at it. So, maybe not. My idea is that rather than actually have that, is that the club have their own commentary team made up from fans each week. And so, therefore, there's another element of that where, you know, people can say, look, I'd like to comment on a game, provide commentary on a game. And then you've got that sort of added sort of thing as well. Mm. You're both looking at me as if...
No, it's good. I think it's good, Dennis. Yeah. Carry on. I'm enjoying this.
The visual display in the glasses will show player performance, like stats, tries, breaks, etc. But also with some of the other things that I've been mentioning about, like players being wired up with tech to sort of tune in on their physical data, maybe we could actually introduce that you could analyse players in terms of where they're peaking in terms of performance data and stuff. And if you think, oh, he's fucked, get him off. You could, you know, the crowd.
Does it say that in the glasses? Does it? It comes up big flashing, saying he's fucked. Get him off. Is that what it does?
Well, it could do. I'm not sure if that's going to be good for everyone.
Does it have a bollocks meter going up the side as well? Because you certainly do one of those, Dennis. Going.
Yeah. So I think how you're coming up with ideas. That means it's a good idea, Sam. Have you got anything to add?
I can't wait to hear Mrs. Slocum's take on this.
Mrs. Slocum here, your next door neighbour. I wonder, would you do me a favour? Would you go to my front door, bend down and look through the letterbox? And if you can see my pussy, would you drop a sardine on the mat?
So augmented reality glasses at the match, enhancing your spectator experience, giving more detailed interaction that you can obviously see what's going on the pitch. Great idea. Thinking of writing to, who shall I write to for this
Spec
one?
Savers. Spec Savers.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, they could actually provide, the frames, couldn't they? I'll write to the RFL, I think. So I think that's a good idea. You can get it at What Bevin? At the Brian Bevin Facebook page. You can direct message Dennis Waywell, as the Brian Bevin Twitter page will be on holiday for the next month.
How many Facebook pages have we now got, Dennis? Do you want to explain?
Well, what happened was, in the early days, the Brian Bevin page had a few technical difficulties.
No, what happened in the early days was you registered the page as Brain Bevin. That was the first podcast one.
Yes, But, you know, Facebook's got very sort of security conscious. And when I was posting various different posts from there...
We kept getting banned, didn't we?
Yes. Yes. So,
so we've ended up with about 7 Facebook pages, of which none of them really work properly, is sort of where we're coming from, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's why we just use Brian Bevin on the Facebook. Yeah.
Do you know there's that many? We've got that many Facebook pages now, and we've registered on iTunes that many times that if you type in Brian Cox into BBC podcast, his podcast, and we come up as well. So I mean, God knows what that says about us.
Well, what we need to do is just name the episodes after very famous people who do podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good. Right, you're done, Dennis. Is that it? Are you finished? Are you going into the break with that one, are you? With your arse, basically.
With my arse. My arse held high.
Deary me. I just hope the pipe hasn't gone in Mrs. Slocum's conservatory again and she's missed all of this. Right, not one, but 2 sections for Callum this week. Let's face it, lads, he's got more stamina than the 3 of us put together. It's Callum's Danger Man.
It's the game that's been on the lips of plenty of people in the Super League ring. League leaders against 2nd. Warrington taking on St Helens. One not to be missed. St Helens are on form, back to winning ways against Huddersfield after a slight stumble in the capital. Warrington bouncing back after Tony Smith came back to haunt them in the 2017 City of Culture. This will be a game where James Roby is missing for Saints. Will Warrington capitalise on that? To keep up the chase for the league leader shield, it's a game our boys must win. No way, no two ways about it in my opinion. We need to show Saints we are still here and they're only real competition. There's a lot of talk about Lachlan Coote, Benny Barber's replacer, but will he charge the Red V onto a victory in Cheshire? He is my danger man, however. If there's any way Saints will unlock Warrington, it will be through our complacency in defence or the flashy play from the Scotland international Coote. We have Blake Austin, however, and plenty of other firepower and flair in our sides. It will be an interesting game. We will see how it unfolds.
Okay, it's the one we've all been waiting for. Yes, it's the biggest game at the Halliwell Jones so far this season. Wire versus Saints. Earlier this year at the Totally Wicked Stadium, we were steamrolled by that St Helens pack. Sam, if we're to get our revenge, mate, do we need to improve in the forwards?
Yes, at least 1% per player per minute. But in all seriousness, it is the forwards where this is going to be won or lost, isn't it? We need to stand up in that first 15 to 20 minutes. We don't need to be taking a backward step and start to dominate them. They dominated us at their place, and on the back of that they got fast play the balls. We were going backwards and they scored a couple of good tries in the first half. We need to reverse that. We need to go forwards.
And have we got the forwards to do it? That's the big thing. I mean, we were dominated by Wormsley and Thompson last time. Cooper and Hill have to go better, don't they?
Yes, I think, yes, 100%. We've got the forwards to do it.
Not 1%.
But, and this is the key for me, it's a collective. It needs to be a collective performance from our forwards. Keep it, ball possession and errors or lack of them will be key. But if we stand up in that first 10 to 15 minutes, I think our forwards have got more stamina. We're more mobile.
Interesting point. Is it all right for Cooper to crack on to Luke Thompson in the bar after the game? How do you stand on that?
100%. After the game, it's all right.
Where anything goes.
It's not anything goes, is it? No, it's just all right.
Dennis, Blake Austin was very quiet last time these two teams met. What kind of Austin vehicle do you think will be wheeled out on the pitch this Friday night?
It's going to be a tough one, isn't it? We'll get on to predictions in a minute, I'm sure. And I might as well tell you what my prediction is. I'm going to break tradition because this is all we're going to roll into one. Do you want me to?
Yes. Oh, why, is that your prediction? No.
Wire 10. Saints 32. Now, here's the reason. This is a turning point. We're going to go on holiday. We're going to go on holiday at the time that Madam Boyd said about July that there's going to be table changes. This is going to change We're not going to do well against Saints. We're going to get beat. I'm just saying it out there now. Now, Austin, if he's going to turn up, he's going to need to turn up quite a rugged performance. He's going to have to be sort of the toughest guy on the battlefield. And if I was comparing him to a vehicle, we'd need to have some kind of military vehicle.
Blake Austin, performance car of the week. The Austin Champ, designed by Charles William Rex Fuel, is a civilian version of the British Army Jeep from World War II. This 2.8-litre brute, featuring a Rolls-Royce engine, goes as fast backward as forward. It has outstanding cross-country performance. As described in the 1% Auto magazine, one journalist wrote, "If you're a true petrol head, you'd be foolish to ignore the charms and eccentricity of this best-engineered, money-no-object War Office design." So with its bulletproof reliability, explosive speed, and ability to cope in battlefield conditions, this week's Blake Austin Performance Car of the Week is the Austin Champ.
Steady on, Austin. You don't want to run out of ammunition too soon.
You heard it there first. It was all boom, bang and bash there in the background. But Sam, bringing it back round, you want to go next, mate?
We have a prediction. Warrington 16, ooh. Saints 22.
Listen to you two, spineless. I mean, listen, not following your team, both going against your team.
No,
unbelievable.
I think it's going to be a good, close game. I just don't think we're quite at it yet.
Fair enough. Okay. So Dennis has gone 10. Sam's gone 16.
Oh, right? Here we go. Okay. Yeah, you like my idea now, don't you?
13.5.
Or you can just go for Warrington to win, and then you've got everything.
Just to get that in there. Dennis has gone 20. Okay, right. I will go. I'm pretty sure I've nailed this one. I'm going to go Warrington 13.5. St. Helens 26.5. There you go. And we'll see who's the closest. So it's good to see.
Now, I think, though, just before we go on, I think we're going to enter a period where this season is where it's going to start getting harder, isn't it? We're getting into the last sort of third quarter of the season. It's going to get really tough, and this is going to really sort us out. I think there's a chance that we could slide to third.
We're taking a month off, aren't we? So this month really will be interesting to see if we come back to the podcast and find that all things have changed, or we've just carried on the way we are and nothing has changed in the month we've been off.
I think this is where we start to step up. I think we'll see a gradual increase in our intensity starting this week, leading up to the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Okay, that's it. We're gone for a month. We'll be back on Tuesday, the 31st of July. During our absence, we'll be releasing a selection of comedy soundbites that have made the show. Look out for them, or drop us a line at whatbevan@gmail.com or Twitter, whatbevan. Also, if you'd like to join the show and provide us with your thoughts between now and the end of the season, reach out to us and we'll tell you what's required. Come on, don't be shy. So until we meet again, he's had his holiday jabs and therefore vaccinated to travel to the far-flung corners of the world. It's a bon voyage from Sam.
Au revoir.
And from a man with no jabs, but he's certainly a prick. He's vaccinationless and riddled with every conceivable manifestation you could possibly think of. So it's a hitchhiker's thumb up in the air, hoping not to be picked up by a lorry driver other than Peter Sutcliffe. It's an adios from Dennis.
Seeing ya.
Thanks. You to downloading all the shows. We'll see you in a month. My name's Rob London. And why on earth did I buy this travel belt? It's too tight. I just knew I should have bought an elastic one. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
I cooked my chicken last night, 1% extra. My stomach's been dodgy all night.
Not about chicky, but this belt's really digging into my cellulitis. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies, so let's see if
if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always.